This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Tom Lee Hackey has become part of our morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind us, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
And he says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond Lahaki Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause, presented by the law offices of Pond Lahaki Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause.
On this Labor Day weekend here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, welcome into The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. This is the President's Hour with the President of the AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, joining us, J-Doc, for the full hour. Fitting that Pat is here with us to kick off our first hour of the Labor Show on this Labor Day weekend. And we have a lot of ground to cover. We have a lot of conversation to get into and bring our listening audience right into it.
Yeah, Joe, certainly on the eve of Labor Day and our big celebration that we have every year, there's a lot going on around the Delaware Valley. I'm so happy to be here with President Pat Iding, and certainly it's been a difficult week in the labor movement, and I'll let Pat talk about that, of course, but we have a lot to talk about, and I'm happy to be here. Pat, welcome in.
Joe, listen, it's great to be with you. It's been a while, and I think for good reasons, because a lot of things have been happening in this country, folks don't realize it, but a lot of good things have been happening in this country. We have a president who cares about working people, is not embarrassing to say he supports unions and what workers have the opportunity to have a collective bargaining agreement. Folks will realize, and I hope it's not too late for them to realize, all the great things this president has done in less than 2 years compared to many, many presidents who guaranteed infrastructure, those things that was always on their campaign. This is a guy who's done it. In our world, just thinking of Taft Hartley pension plans, if you look around, pensions, as they're noted to be, are pretty much a thing of the past. He turned around in his rescue plan and saved the pensions. And I will tell you, where I come from, the building trades, they're Taft Hartley plans. They're great pension plans. And without this president, we would see many of them go down the drain, because employers as a whole don't want the liability to have a pension. And they've worked very hard to do away with them. And no disrespect to anybody who's able to get a 401 or one of the other ones that are called. They are a form of a pension plan, but all the liability goes on to the person. They either save or they invest properly or they don't have a pension. What we had with pension plans, and that's a term, defined benefit plans, that we took care of each other. That's the way the labor movement grew in this country. And it's important that I bring little things like that up today as we have a minute to talk, even though my heart is another place. But, we'll get there, because our members deserve to have Labor Day. They deserve to celebrate.
And it is interesting, Pat, because in today's day and age, with the pandemic and in the aftermath of the pandemic, people are not interested in taking low-paying jobs. And, I mean, everybody thought after the pandemic unemployment that the job lines would be around the corner. But let me go into a restaurant or something like that. You can't get service. Individuals now are seeking these high-paying jobs. And of course, our labor movement makes that possible to have not only a job and a career. And, of course, the pension is a huge part of it.
And I have to tell you, I mean, it's great to be able to sit here and talk about the folks who are moving forward in Amazon. Who would have ever heard that Starbucks would be organizing and unionizing? But folks have to remember, during the course of this action, the employers are still doing all the bad things that they're able to do until we change some laws. And until we get labor laws changed in this country to at least equal to the free world labor laws that are around the world that are much better than ours. But there are some things happening. And I think as we say in the labor movement, and when we had our convention here in Philadelphia, our new great leader, Liz Shuler, is the president of the AFL-CIO, and Redmond, Secretary Redmond. I mean, we not only are we very proactive because we can be now, but we look like who our members are in our leadership. And our goal right now is to make sure our members, the working people, not just the leaders, understand the things that have been going on, that they have a right to have a collective bargaining agreement and they have support. So a couple things that I would like to kind of get off my chest, because as good as things are, and it is our movement, some things that go unrecognized, the people who work in healthcare, the people who work in nursing homes and places like that, the most underpaid, under-respected workers in the country. And I will tell you, the SEIU Healthcare PA is working very hard to bring those folks up to a livable wage and some protection to where they work. So SEIU Healthcare PA, they just signed an agreement with Guardian, and there's still many others that have to be done. So you'll find and you'll hear some strikes going on because of those things that people can't... I mean, during the pandemic, who put themselves up against death more than the people who take care of the healthcare people?
Oh, my God, the heroes.
And, you know, we like to think a lot of folks did that, but those can be mentioned almost automatically.
Especially nobody knew when we were all in the blind and these people went to work every day.
Every day.
You know?
And I have a niece who still works in healthcare, in nursing home care, and brought the pandemic home unknowingly, and she lost her husband during it, because he was a little bit more health-wise weaker than maybe some folks his age. But that happened all over. And yet those, like soldiers, those women went out, and mostly women, but men also in that world, they did that. They took care of people who needed to help them the most. And so, you know, it's really right for them to be able to have some representation. And you know, I'll give you another one, the art museum. The folks who do the Philadelphia Art Museum, one of the most prominent places in the city of Philadelphia, have been over 2 years trying to get a collective bargaining agreement. They voted very strongly, almost 100%. It was 90-some percent to have a union. And for 2 years, they've been fighting. They have that art museum probably is financed higher than most all art museums around the country. It's one of the key spots for Philadelphia, for people to come to Philadelphia. And they do a great job. And I've been through that art museum, and without the political part and the negotiation part, to find that they are exceptional people. They're professionals in what they do. They should have the opportunity to get the wages and health care they should. And so they just voted to go on strike. I know twice we had conventions here in Philadelphia, our national convention and ASME's, where we joined with hundreds of people out there supporting them. And I got to know them. And I had to tell you, I'm concerned, because I promised the young lady that we'll get this done. And so these are some of the things. And in a tragic moment, just happened in the last day or so, Local 623 is the Teamsters local to represent the UPS workers. And you know UPS, you see them, they run, they hustle, they work hard. And unfortunately, one of their members died, I think that last night or the day before. And I think you may find out, because OSHA's involved and others, that those trucks could be in a better condition. Those trucks may have some way to have some air condition. You know, we've gone through one of the hottest summers we've had. And you can imagine what it feels like for you. And you jumping in and out of that truck all day at, you know, what appears to be 95 degrees, but in those areas, it's probably 110 degrees. So there's a lot of issues out there. But I will say this, especially around Labor Day, it's our time. It's our time in the labor movement to get our members risen up to where they belong. To, you know, fair work, safe working conditions, and fair wages that they can take care of their family. So we won't forget that as we do reminisce and leak back on some sadder moments.
And you mentioned that our thoughts and prayers also go out to the Teamster who lost life, and Richard Hooker, who is the president of that.
Great leader, by the way.
We've had him on the broadcast many times. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Richard and the entire membership, and of course the family of the individual who lost their life. Safety is you talk about benefits and all that, but safety standards are something that the labor unions fight hard for, and of course I'm sure that there'll be some changes there and some increases in that situation. You're right. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of hours these individuals spend in those vehicles, and our thoughts and prayers go out to that individual.
Thank you, John.
This is the President's Hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll take a short commercial break. And then on the other side of the break, a legend in the labor movement. Back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by IBEW Local 98 North, UFCW Local 1776, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, and the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, DC-21. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
And welcome back, everyone, on this Labor Weekend to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. This is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause, our very special one-hour special with the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Eiding. J-Doc, over to you, sir.
Thanks, Joe. We began the broadcast. This is, you know, we're airing on the eve of Labor Day weekend. And as you know, we've had a tremendous loss in our movement. One of the great things that you and I have talked about so many times, Joe Krause, and of course with Pat Eiding, is the good fortune we have in this area for leadership. None more impacting than Pat Gillespie and of course Pat Eiding. The face of our labor movement has been impacted by Pat Eiding and Pat Gillespie for decades and decades, and we lost a leader this week, and I know a dear friend to Pat Eiding, and we've had so many conversations on how Pat Gillespie impacted and put individuals on boards and put us in a good place. Pat Eiding, if you would.
Well, you'll have to excuse me if it gets a little emotional. this is more than a sad time. It's tragic to me, and folks will know that. I was elected to Local 14 as the business manager in 1977, and history will say that we had some great leaders, but different leaders, and John McCullough, and Tom McGrann was the head of the building trades, and Ralphie Williams, Jim Williams, who eventually became the national president of the painters. They were great leaders. They were tough leaders. It was a turnover from a time when, and I don't mean to be crude, but when we had a non-union problem, the thought process, well, we'll just go punch him in the mouth, tell him to get out of town and go back where he came from, to Georgia or wherever. And so, you know, there was a different perception of us. You know, the Hoffa era had slipped over, who was quite honestly one of my heroes because of what he did for the workers. I don't really care about what somebody else did or didn't do. I always care about what the workers got. And so I was able to roll into an interesting time when Tom McGrann left the building trades as the business manager. The mechanical trades, as we refer to them, the plumbers, fitters, sprinkler fitters, the only mechanical trades, and I put the insulators, Local 14, in that group, that were part of the building trades at that moment was the electricians and the insulators. So there was obviously a split in process of what folks, leaders thought. And they're all big leaders. They're all, I could go through the names. Eddie Keenan wasn't there yet, but Tom McNulty was. And these are great names and people. And I was 30-something, flown right from the executive board of our union to the business manager. So you can imagine I had a lot to learn. And it's one of the failings we have without recognizing folks who get elected come off the scaffold, and they weren't schooled in being a leader. You know, we've had some good schools like St. Joe's and others, but and then some leaders are just leaders. And so we go forward to 1982. I usually tell people I was elected and representing people, I think, right around the same time DIRT was created. Mm-hmm. So I was around a long time, and so a young man by the name of Pat Gillespie, who, by the way, had a black beard that wouldn't quit, dark hair, and he had a unique twinkle. And you couldn't tell whether he was thinking good or bad because the twinkle came many times. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of a, you'll notice his smile is a little bit crooked sometimes. So he got elected. He wasn't appointed in 1982. He got elected. And he got elected, quite honestly, the basic trades were very supportive of him. And I reflected the other night with Ed Curiel, who's the head of the carpenters back then, who made the motion for him, and the laborers, Sam Staten Sr., who's one of my greatest friends and the great labor leaders. So the idea that he got appointed is not true. So he got elected and took over a union, quite honestly, that a house of the union that was split. You know, I mentioned the mechanical trades were prominent and a very important part of the trades. But he and I have to tell you, Pat Eiding and Pat Gillespie were brand new to know each other. So it wasn't like we came back and, in fact, folks won't know, there was a group of folks who, and I won't go into names or anything, who suggested I should run against him. And I have to tell you, I was still pretty green out in the field, and I wasn't completely in tune with all the stuff the labor people thought. I thought we should do more. I thought we should close down refineries. young man by the name of Marty Mattaloni, he had the same idea. So we were a little different. We're a little weird. You know, I grew up in Kensington, so we have some great ideas coming out of Kensington. Some good, some bad. Mm-hmm. So I meet this guy, and, you know, he right away, he's taken over. I mean, he had outside influences that I won't mention that try to intimidate his position as business manager of the building trades. And no way in the world was anybody going to step in and to the labor movement and try to tell him what to do. So then I got to know him. I thought, this guy was a state representative. He was a state representative, I think, when he's 20-some years old, you know. And by the way, he got elected as a Democratic state rep in an area, if I'm not mistaken, in Delaware County, that was pretty much all Republican at the time. So you could see his uniqueness coming out. And by the way, through the early years of him in the building trades and me starting to get to know him and working with him, as we would go up to the Capitol to get some pieces of legislation taken care of, most of those state reps knew him because they worked with him. And there's stories there for Pat Eiding and Pat Gillespie mm-hmm. from those days up in Harrisburg. But it started to structure, in my mind, who he was. And he took the building trades into a whole nother direction. So you folks who have been around as long as me, and they're not too many, I guess, now, if they were able to view 60 Minutes, which I believe is still on the air, mm-hmm. And our leaders back then, because of this program of problem with Alamos, that was a whole nother story.
Sure.
They were on national TV. And quite honestly, we looked like who people thought we are in Philadelphia. Not because of the people. They were good people. But our stories are what they were. You know, a couple of people did get punched in their mouth. You know, that kind of stuff. So, but Pat, he had this different idea. I guess maybe, you know, you could think back and think, well, that's how he got to be a state legislator, because his thinking was broader and deeper about what the working people could do. So he took the Philadelphia building trades and, you know, with himself and other people that he got appointed into boards and commissions. So now we're at the table instead of begging to get in the door. And, you know, I don't know that they could ever write a book, but anybody that sat in a meeting with Pat Gillespie, every meeting had a story to tell of a Pat Gillespie demeanor or comments or just what he got off his mind at those meetings. And I have to tell you, whether they were governors or presidents or whatever, he represented the working people just as he was. He didn't dress it up in any way. If he thought somebody was hurting our people, he let it be known in no uncertain terms. And his vocabulary, by the way, one of the smartest guys I've seen with the English language. Many of the building trades leaders wound up with words they never heard of before because being able to, and I know my wife would tell you, being able to dictate a letter. This is a construction worker. You know, we come off the scaffold. Not everybody went to college and what have you, but they were good people. And he was just very smart. And taking themselves into rooms like the head of what was Beaver College at the time, getting the respect of that president, who, by the way, was a very stand-up lady from a very prominent college, and able to convince her that we could work together to make sure that everybody who did the work on that compound would have the kind of wages that collective bargaining agreements were for everybody, and had people sit down and get that done. You know, we dealt with times when the refineries were changing their direction, and he was able to mold an agreement with Sunoil, for example, created a relationship that had all our people working there doing great work. And by the way, coming up with some of the great ideas of how we would handle drug programs because of laws that were passed and folks in the construction area being tough, they not so much drugs at the time, but alcohol. He was able to put together the ATAP program with Jack Dempsey at the Philadelphia Building Trades, which today is still taking care of people, not only with use abuse, but also for mental health, you know, as we've moved into the 21st century. But this is all in Pat's direction. I think one of the other main things that folks, and I just read an article by a young lady who I know and think a lot of, about the deficiency of the trades as far as inclusion. Him and Sam Staten, who, again, as I mentioned before, one of the great leaders and a very close friend, they put together a program called Diversity Apprentice Program. And it was designed to bring folks who heretofore thought they couldn't get into the trades, or somebody else, some politician said that we're keeping them out, help them get into the trades by helping them get the process and understand what it was. And those two people did that. These are, now I wish, because I'm on the air, I could tell you some of the great stories that we had, because as I mentioned, I didn't know Pat Gillespie when he first got elected. But you know, there's an old story of you're in a foxhole with somebody, you get to know them. And so, you know, our union, for whatever it worth, because we're a small union, we had a lot of issues. We had a lot of non-union breaking in, and companies that had two companies breaking in. So I had a lot of picket lines and all. And I have to tell you, Pat Gillespie was on every picket line. He was there in the morning. We were there at night. We really spent a lot of time in a foxhole. And so that, and just recently, as early as yesterday, someone with the building trades made a comment, you know, it was always Pat and Pat. So anyway, some of those stories would be great. But he was just a unique person. If my wife was sitting here and we could stop her from crying, how important he was to the people. Some of the things he did for folks who needed help, nobody, it wasn't in a paper, you know, it wasn't there. He helped the All-Star Labor Classic. That it was an idea that Pat had, and he grabbed two people, Sam Glassmeyer and Mitch Clavin, and initiated them into this program. As you know, we've had them on the air, and every year, Joe, you're involved in the All-Star Labor Classic. Millions of dollars for folks who have issues that they needed some help. We could do that. And also to take some kids and put them in a prominent position that they could play in an All-Star Labor Classic, even though it wasn't one of the big ones like the McDonald Classic. That morphed into a program where the kids are dying to get into it. Many of them are going on to play pro ball. Some of the folks who went through there come back and helped us with the All-Star Labor Classic, like Ro Falcone. This is Pat Gillespie's ideas. These are the things that there. And as I said, I would love to be able to relate some of our stories on the picket line and those things. But I'll keep it clean.
Between you and Pat.
And we'll keep it straight.
The President's Hour with President Pat Eiding joining us here on this Labor Day weekend here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Normally, we would take a commercial break during the conversation. Instead, all of our supporters and our partners waive the right for their commercial to be heard. We'll take a moment of silence on behalf of Pat Gillespie, J. Doc, and then we'll come right back and continue your conversation with Pat Eiding on a legend in labor. We pause now for just a moment.
You're charged through your resolution with a daunting task of trying to find a remedy to prevent the tragedies that are incumbent oftentimes in the demolition work, in the aspect of demolition. It is by far a very unsafe operation just by its nature. The fact that on the 11th of June, I sent the mayor a letter offering the services of our training professionals to help develop a protocol that would mirror other urban areas. We were shocked and chagrined that we didn't have one, and we should have been on top of that. We have people who are in this business for years who know how to do this business, and know how to do it properly. And And this just isn't for public. It's for the private, because anytime you go into whether you're knocking down a 16 foot wide row house in between two others, or you're knocking down a 30 or 40 story building, it has the impact on our communities and in our neighborhoods.
And back here on the Labor Show with Pat Iding, President Pat Iding, President of the AFL-CIO, Labor Day weekend, as you mentioned, Jay Dock, and a deep, deep conversation with the President, Pat, and his good friend, Pat.
So, Joe, my thoughts exactly. It's always been Pat and Pat. And I want to say that the radio show we're on right now that started 8 years ago. You and I had a meeting on a day. We worked real hard. My family was going through something, and I was extremely vulnerable. And I had known Pat Iding, for several years, and Pat Gillespie as well. And I remember the reason we're here today, I made two calls. And if those calls would have went down, would have went the wrong way, I would have never had the courage to do the show, because my father was going through some stuff. And ironically, those two calls were identical. First one was to Pat Iding. And I said, Pat, we got a new show. And was wondering if you'd be our first guest. And because without Pat Iding and Pat Gillespie, we don't have a show. And I was extremely vulnerable, and here's what Pat Iding said: whatever you need. That was the answer right there. And I hung up and I started to tear up. I had one more call, and it was to Pat Gillespie. And his answer was, whatever you need, just tell me what you want me to do. And that was the start of where we're at right now. If either Pat Iding or Pat Gillespie would have said no, I would have called Joe Krause up and said, Joe, this is not going to happen. This is not the right time. And so the impact that both Pat and Pat have made for what we're doing right now, but also the lives that they've touched. And I look at them on a parallel. So if I'm talking about Pat Gillespie, I'm talking about Pat Iding. And so think about it just for a second. The hundreds of thousands of lives, okay, that these individuals have impacted in labor, not just the careers, the livelihoods. The difference between being in a union and having and not being in a union is the difference of a career and a job. And so the loss of Pat Gillespie, obviously, is so impacting. You talk to John Dougherty, Ryan Boyer, all the leaders at the building trades. The reason why we have the leadership that we have, I mean, the standing we have in Philadelphia is because of these two great men. We will never see the likes of them again. And so we send our thoughts and prayers out to Pat Gillespie's family. Part of the face of the labor movement here has left us in body, but in spirit he'll be with us, and his impact will live on forever.
So I've talked a lot about Pat Iding and Pat Gillespie and all the work that he's done and the many hours that he spent through all those 30-some years. I have to tell you, the unique thing about Pat Gillespie, I don't know if it's unique. It's a credit. It's who he is. It's his personality. He always, always was a family man. I mean, his love of his life, Arlene, it was, and to see the two of them together. I mean, if you just saw them together 6 months ago, you'd have seen them arm in arm, hand in hand. They and his kids. I mean, Pat and his kids, his daughter Marie, Matt, Kevin, Pat Jr., family man. And, a lot of times when you take the positions that, whether it be the state representative that he was, or the head of a labor organization like the building trades, which in themselves are a strange group, and I say that lovingly, never for one minute disconnected himself from Arlene and the kids. It's an unique trait. I mean, because some of us admittedly sometimes get too wrapped up in what we do every day.
Sure.
And the people that love us the most, we let go. He never did that. And I think that's the best thing I can say to his family right now. He never, ever had a day in his life that Arlene and the kids weren't prominent more than anything else. And that was why he was doing all these great things. So, Pat, to say we're going to miss you is kind of too minimal. I think it's just, I have to say, Pat and I didn't always agree because we're both, thick-headed Irish people. We got it. But in the end, we agreed we were counted the most, and that was for taking care of people. And quite honestly, he did an awful lot for me. I hate to admit it, but he was a couple years younger than me. But, the relationship that grew, when it comes to a working relationship, it'll go on forever in my head and my heart. So if I could take a minute, and I know Pat would want me to do this. This is Labor Day. And if nothing else, Pat cared about working people. And this is the day set aside for working people. And here in Philadelphia, we went through the pandemic without a parade. We didn't have a festival. But then last year we started back and it was a little bit less than before. I will tell you that this year, and I think we have celebration of life, certainly, that will take place on Tuesday at St. Denis for our great friend. The day before, we'll celebrate and think of him, and we'll have a moment for him. And, of course, I have to mention Jack Shea, who is a great guy who handled the Allegheny County Central Labor Council, who passed away, I believe, the day before Pat. He was fortunately retired for a couple of years and enjoyed that. But, again, a great labor leader. And so on Monday, come to the Sheet Metal Hall. You'll hear a couple announcements from some labor leaders, some politicians maybe. But then we'll march and show our stuff, show our colors, show who we are because we're proud to be labor leaders. Labor people, rather, and working people. And then we'll have a family party down at the Great Plaza. So, Pat, you'll be remembered well, not only on Labor Day for all the years coming, but I know you'll want us to make sure Labor Day is a day for the people.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Ironworkers Local 401, Boilermakers Local 13, Plumbers Local 690, Roofers Local 30, and IBEW Local 98. Choose a Local 98 contractor. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
And welcome back, everyone, to this edition of The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Of course, as we've talked about, Labor Day weekend. We've had an incredible discussion about a legend in labor, Pat Gillespie. Pat Iding, the president of the AFL-CIO. This is his hour. We're fortunate to get Pat for an hour to be able to use this opportunity, Pat, for you to talk directly to the union community, influence the public with what you know, and then more or less just use this opportunity to continue to promote J-Doc, what we are,
labor.
What we are and what we are, what we do exactly.
Pat, yeah, and obviously you touched on the parade and what an amazing, but this is a celebration of our movement here in Philadelphia.
And by the way, J-Doc, before you continue, let me just reference, I think we're finally making some progress in the union movement. On this very radio station earlier in the week, I heard an unsolicited debate about the power and the incredible opportunity it is to have a career as an electrician, as a plumber, as an iron worker, and the programs that are created, what the unions create, those apprentice programs, are now finally starting recognition.
Right, with public
opinion. Anyway, I didn't mean to derail your conversation.
No, but the public opinion, and obviously, with this administration, it's fantastic to see, the public opinion polls about people's interest in being in unions. Pat talked about Starbucks, Amazon. Obviously, all these people are now fed up with being, You know, we've all talked about many times with a lot of these big corporations that are paying peanuts. They're the only ones getting richer then. Well, people, you know, are no longer, they're putting their foot down. And obviously this administration and the labor movement are the obvious reasons for that, because people now get the opportunity to be represented. Labor Day, Pat, there's so much that goes on with the parade and everything. This is where we celebrate that. Yes, it's a great cookout. You know, like Memorial Day and Labor Day, yeah, and it's a great family gathering, great weekend down the shore. But let's not forget why we're here. And Pat, talk about what goes into what a great job Pat and everybody at the AFL-CIO and our union community does at putting this celebration together.
Well, listen, it's a lot of work, and anyone can imagine when you have that many thousands of people, and then include their family in at the other end for a celebration. My staff here, you know, is fantastic. And, Kathy, who was with us for 18 years as our bookkeeper and then some, retired recently. Thank God we had a pension that she could retire to. And so Thelma and Joni, and of course Danny, and we have some new folks. But those two, Thelma and Joni, just, you know, they just carry this thing. You know, we have different events, whether it's the leadership thing in Atlantic City. But the Labor Day Parade starts probably right after the new year. With folks who are good enough to support us, sponsor us, making sure the unions have, make sure we have the different events in there besides the unions and the drill teams. The drill teams are very important. The kids get a chance to show their stuff. It's a lot of work, and I will tell you that folks are just jumping all around down at my place right now, getting ready for Monday. Joni will be down Penn's Landing probably Sunday, if not Saturday and Sunday, but at least Sunday, to make sure everything is set up and everything's properly done. It's a lot of work, and we couldn't do it without a lot of support. Senator Hughes and Senator Tartaglione have always been able to give us financial support. It's a great day, and I know, we had an awful sad moment here, and rightly so. But I know that Pat and Joe, you alluded to when he was ready to move on. He said, "Okay, that's it." You know, Yeah. You knew that was it. I mean, yeah. I don't care if it's 20 people in a room or two people in a room. If you say, "Okay, we're done now," you know, you're done, because he was moving on to other things, and so he would definitely want to make sure that the labor movement, especially now, and I want to get a little political for just a minute,
sure.
and mainly because we're in a time right now, the labor movement, working people, where I don't know, it's anywhere between 65% and 80% of the people interviewed are in favor of unions now. And we didn't have that for a long time. And, you know, and we have a president, and I know Mayor Street used to say, "I won't walk across the street without a union guy," because he's part of the laborers. But this president and what he's done, and we're trying to get to working people, whether they're part of a union or not, pay attention to what's happened here. I mentioned the pension being saved because of the Rescue Act. I mean, what he's done with this infrastructure, and he's done it bipartisan, some of it, which is really a tough time in this world with the other people and the way they're thinking. A lot of our workers, including union members, got caught up in promises that are mainly have been lies. And this guy has not done that. I know he's older. I know he appears to be slow sometimes, but his thinking is bright and his thinking is good, and it's good for working people. I mean, what he's done for seniors in his last bill that he was able to get passed. I mean, if we just take for a minute, Joe, average Joe person out there, take for a minute and look at some of the things that have happened in the last, I don't know if it's 18 months or 20 months, wherever it is, and think about how many presidents have gotten elected on the fact that they're going to start rebuilding America because it's falling apart. He did that. You know, the little things, so many little things are in those pieces of legislation. So I ask people, just pay attention. I'm not talking about a name. I don't want to talk about names here. I want to talk about issues that pertain to working people. And if everybody would just take a minute, whether it's for the state election, you know, the governor and the Senate, or if it's 2024 when it's the president, think about what this gentleman, God bless him, I hope he stays strong, has done for us. And that'll take you into a whole different thought process when you go into the voting booth, because we've always said to our members, vote for people who are going to do things for you. That's what we need. We don't want to make any deals. Just vote for people who are going to do for you. So Labor Day is coming. You know, this is a time when we're going to be able to celebrate who we are. And I hope we can get some real thinking in our ranks and files, because there's going to be, I don't know whether number be 4,000, 6,000, 8,000 But I got to tell you, it's going to be a lot bigger than it was in 2002, when we had the march down the Parkway. And, you know, the movement then was very small in the parade. And now it's, I don't know, 60-some unions, some other folks that want to be in it. It's a great day for labor. It's a great day for American people. But I think we honor people like Pat Gillespie by taking care of each other because of all the work he's put in his life, with, whether it was at the state level or at the building trade level or the operating engineers. It was always about working people. So we could do justice to his memorial, if you will, by making sure we keep ourselves focused on helping each other and going forward.
Jay Duck, I got 30 seconds for you for the final word.
I just say that a greater testament to his leadership and Pat Iding's are the leaders of today who have been influenced by Pat Gillespie and Pat Iding, of course, and who the words that they speak and the torch that they carry, they pay homage to Pat Gillespie and certainly we thank him for everything he's done for all of us.
And Joe, I have to butt in and tell you that Ryan Boyer has taken that baton.
Absolutely.
And he's run with it to carry the message of folks before him, but to bring people more together. And so we have good leadership. We have real good leadership. And I know that Pat was very happy and proud of the direction of the building trades as it is right now. So we have things to care about. And we have work ahead of us. And in honor of Pat Gillespie, let's make sure we do it.
Amen.
And that's going to do it for hour number one of the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. On behalf of a legend, Pat Gillespie, and on behalf of a labor legend, Pat Iding, I'm Joe Krause. See you on the other side.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.